Well, what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, you know, the gospel begins with a powerful story of blindness. Two blind men. You know, I've been really so wanting to share with you today, Chris, this story of this particular Advent season, that I see such blindness and such darkness that we all are into. One of the most beautiful priests that I know, Father Larry Gillick, is blind. But he wasn't always blind. There's two kinds of blind men that I know. There's Father Gillick, who had sight, and then because of a child accident, he lost his sight, and then went on to become a very beautiful seeing priest who has a powerful vision for people. And then Jason, who was born blind. And these are the two men that I have in mind as I read from Matthew's Gospel. And starts with the 9th chapter, the 27th verse. And as Jesus was on his way, there were two blind men following, crying out, "Son of David, have pity on us." When he entered the house, the blind men approached him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" "We want to see," they said. "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the word of him through all the land. And so that story of the two men receiving their sight is such a powerful example for me of what this Advent time could be about for all of us. All of us who are hearing this story. First of all, this Advent is in the darkest time of the year, physically. There is actually a place in Sweden where there's going to be, during this month of December, total, complete darkness. The whole day will be in darkness. And then on December the 13th, for a brief moment, the sun will shine. Just for the briefest moment. And that's on the Feast of St. Lucy, Santa Lucia. She became the patron saint of Sweden. So light will come. You know what? How depressing it is to live all day long. You get up in the morning, it's dark. You go to bed at night, it's dark. And all day long, darkness. So that's one of the physical things that's going on, especially in the Northern Hemisphere. And then there is that spiritual darkness, war, violence, the kinds of darkness that just has captured people, especially sin, which is spiritual darkness. You know, the people who are under addictions of pornography, abortion, drugs, alcohol, gambling, they're coming to this season of joy and happiness and light, and they're in such darkness. I know some people who want to go to homes of recovery, places of recovery from their addictions. And I just hear their cries, such deep darkness in sin. And of course, the one who is in control of darkness, under the powers of darkness, Satan. And in the greatest consequence of darkness, death. Into our world is coming light. Jesus. And this is what Christmas is all about. That the darkness of this world, sin and Satan and death, is going to come an announcement. The Savior, the Redeemer, he's coming. And what a beautiful thing it is for me to be with you in this time of Advent. And so the church is presenting to us at this time a marvelous teaching and it's from Isaiah. I was reading in the Office of Readings today that St. Anselm has the greatest thing for a child and for us is to wait. Something wonderful is going to happen. God is going to come into this world. And what are we doing? That's what Advent is. It's a time of waiting and assurance. My happiest Christmases when I was waiting for Santa Claus. Really. And all you children who are waiting, but all of us, it only grows deeper, the waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for this darkness to be over. Waiting for the light to come into the world. Waiting for the birth of Jesus, who's coming. Not just going to be born, which he was 2014 years ago, but coming into this darkness. And the church gives us a magnificent text today to contemplate when we go to Mass. The Redeemer is coming. What's that going to be like? All of Israel, grown suffering and in their time of anguish, Isaiah says, surely in a very little while. That is very important words for us in Advent. We are waiting. And in a little while, Lebanon shall be changed into an orchard, and the orchard into a forest. On that day, the deaf shall be able to hear the word of a scroll, and out of the gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. The lowly shall again find joy in the Lord. The poorest rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. God is coming. The broken, the blind, the deaf. We are going to be able to see, to hear, to rejoice, all of us. And what about the badness? You know, when you pick up the paper and blacks and fighting whites and is ISIS killing and all the terrible wars and all the terrible things. Yes. What is it saying? In a little while, God is coming. Listen, all that bad stuff is going to be over. This is real. And it's for us, the children of God. Not just Santa Claus with toys, but more. For the tyrant shall be no more. The scoffer shall cease to be. All who are ready for evil shall be cut off. Those who constantly condemn with mere words, with ensnarements for the defenders at the gate, and leave the just with empty claims. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of the house of Jacob, who redeemed Abraham, no longer shall Jacob be ashamed. No longer shall his face grow pale. For when his children see the work of my hands in their midst, they shall sanctify my name. They shall sanctify the Holy One of Jacob. Be in awe of the God of Israel. Who is he? He's Jesus. He's coming. St. Anselm, in today's reading, took the people of God and invited them to go on that tour, this waiting tour. I would like to do that with you today. A guided meditation, guided into your own hearts. Where is this God of Israel? Where is this God of Jacob? His name is Jesus, and he dwells in my heart and in yours. As one blind one to another, my sister, my brother, little child, go down into the bottom of your heart right now with me. Enter into that world where he is, and maybe you don't see him there, but he's there. And go there and be there with me in the silence and in the dark. And look up at that scripture when it says there's a mountain. You know, if you look from Israel where Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee, you could look actually to there he was, and right there was the Lebanon mountain. It was so huge. You could see it towering into the sky. And on that mountain, there's going to be an orchard. Walk with me. Let us come to him to find Jesus there. Who's there that the blind are going to see? Really? The deaf are going to hear. The lame, the poor, all of us who are there, can you see them? You mean he is going to do this? And all the bad people and all the wickedness and all the darkness is going to be over? Where are you? I know you made me, and I know you're here, and I really, truly hear you say, do you believe that I can do this? Yes, we believe. We want to see your face. We know you're here. You open the eyes of the blind. Open our eyes. You are here within us. We want to see your face. We want to follow you into that house. You said you're always going to be near us. You made us, and you said you would come and dwell within us. Is your father here? You said you would bring him. Is he with us? Lord, is this going to happen in a little while? We do believe. Touch us. Touch our eyes. We are crying to you. We want to see. We want to see the world of truth and light. We want to come out of this darkness and believe that you are here with us. If you're here in this darkness with us, you made us. And you know everything we are going through. We came here believing that you do live in the depths of our inner self. And we believe that when we ask you to hear, because if this is an orchard and a garden, to hear the birds, to hear the brook running down the stream, the waters of Lebanon flowing, and to hear your voice, to answer us, to smell the sweetness of that garden when you said it's an orchard, to experience and to feel your presence, to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Invite us, Lord. Let us experience the touch of your hand against ours, the sweetness of your presence. The scriptures say that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us, God within us. You are here. and we want to see your face. We long for your coming. We wait, and we trust, and we believe. Yes, Lord, in a little while, all of this will happen. You will come. You will bring peace, and we will see the work of your hands as you bring us all together. As the children of Abraham, the Jews, the Muslims, the Christians, all gather into one family, we will all gather there. This will be a new day of light. This is not the end. It's the beginning. And it will be in a little while. Lord, help us to see. We believe that you can help us to see. But first of all, let us see your face. Today, what I've done is fathers and mothers taken you on a guided tour, a guided contemplation. I wish you would do that with your children. You could do that. Teach everyone in your family, and you yourselves practice contemplation. Go into the depths of your own heart. There's where you meet God. There's where he is dwelling within you. There's where you will hear his voice. There's where you will see his face, because he truly does dwell within you. Emmanuel, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, God with us. God is in the depths of every heart that is hearing today and anticipating and waiting for Christmas. God is waiting there. I invite everyone to find God first in his own heart. God is going to come into our world. He's going to come to Syria. He's going to come to Lebanon. He's going to come to Israel. He's going to come to Saudi Arabia. He's going to come to every nation, to every heart. But the first place he's going to come is into your heart. And to be able to find him there, and prepare the way for him. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And in a little while, in the words of Isaiah, he's going to come. Wait. God bless.